Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I don't care what Chris Burton says. That is an unbelievable entrance. Almost transported back to the 80s. Come on down. You're listening to Charlie Hawkins on the Nottingham Forest Fan Show. I won't ever do that again. I promise. I make a promise to you that I won't ever say that again, Chris. Do not worry. But this is the Forest Takeover. Your takeover to have your say. And we are talking everything where Forest are concerned. Obviously, two games for us to get into. The Luton 3-1 win on the weekend. And obviously, that Reading game, we're going to have to talk about it. Unbelievable. Played Reading again, and it turned out the same way. Literally the same way. But joining me now, as I said it earlier, is Chris Burton. Chris, good to have you on, as I always do this time on a Thursday, 9 to half 9. How are you?
I'm very good, mate. How are you?
I'm good.
Good form, mate.
Yeah, mate, I'm trying to. I want this music, Chris. I'm trying to will it upon you. I'm trying to win you over.
Your enthusiasm is definitely winning me over.
Yes, that's exactly what I want. It literally. I down a bottle of Lucozade. I'm on the Iron Brew. I've got to win Chris over in this 30 minutes. And I think, Chris, even though we've got a nice 6-game unbeaten streak to talk about, we need a bit of enthusiasm because I can't watch another Forest Reading game for as much as I tried now.
No, it's crazy, isn't it? It's just football, isn't it? It's part of the fun of football, and as you said, the 6-game unbeaten streak, that we need to start looking at things in a bigger picture. It's difficult, especially this time of the season, because you're so focused on every single result, but things are going well, so we'll brush it off.
Yeah, we'll brush it off when you are obviously in the midst of a 6-game unbeaten streak. Looking good. We're coming to that business end of the season. We know how important it is. Let's start then at the very top. It was Luton. 3-1 on the weekend. And obviously people will see that result on the weekend, 3-1. It wasn't like that at the start. It was quite cagey at the start. It was quite tight. And then Luton went 1-0 up. No one was really expecting that. But that was kind of the kick up the backside and, you know, the boost that Forest needed, wasn't it?
It was sort of a typical Forest performance in a lot of ways. We've had a lot of games this season where we struggled in the first half and looked a bit cagey and a bit half asleep. And Lewicz has come out and admitted as much on a regular basis. I don't know why that keeps happening and who you can point the finger at. If that's the manager, if it's the message that's not getting across, if it's the players. But it happened again. And at half-time, you were thinking a bit like, oh, is a winner going to come? Or is it going to be more of the same? But we stepped up and we did enough. I mean, you could tell that once they went behind, their heads dropped. You can see where they are in the table. And at the end of the day, we had a bit of magic from Joe Lolley. We had just had that extra bit of class in the end, and it told and it got us through.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to talk about the Lolley double. It was unbelievable. And you mentioned Luton's head dropping. It was unlucky. Their keeper really should have done better with his first. But forget the first, because that second, I don't care if the keeper was in the sun or not, that is an absolute sublime finish, isn't it?
It's what Lolley is all about. We just haven't seen enough of it this season for whatever reason. And it felt like a game that he found that spark again, and hopefully that will be the case. I think for him, it felt like just a case of just have a go. You know, there's been a few occasions this season, because it hasn't happened for him as often as he would like, that he maybe tries another touch, he tries to beat another man, or he looks for a pass rather than have a shot. But that was just the perfect example of him doing exactly what you want Joe Lolley to do. You want the defender to show him inside onto his left foot, and he'll just smash it in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And it was buying the ticket for the lottery, and his numbers came up twice.
Yeah, they did. I mean, if that's how they're going to come up, I'm going to play the same lottery, because two very different goals, but he could be proud of him. He definitely kicked Forest on in that game. Just interesting comments from Lamucci afterwards, because he said, look, you know, this is crazy to think about Forest side being in the playoffs after they haven't had it for so long. And, you know, it's possible we're so close that we have to keep playing this way. But then also, you know, he quickly turned that on his head, because he said, you know, and he kind of kept them on their toes and trying to make them stay professional. But he said, if we play like how we did in the first half, there's no chance of it, impossible.
Well, he's got a point, hasn't he? I mean, it was pretty turgid, wasn't it? And then the same against Reading on Wednesday. First off there was pretty bad as well. But we keep on getting the results. And say it, the last six games, nobody's got more points in this league than we have from the last six games. So we have to keep looking at the bigger picture and remember that while it's been massively frustrating, the two games against Reading recently, and it does feel like, because we have dropped 4 points, and it does feel very much like that. You only have to look back at the start of the season, you know, the games at Leeds, Charlton, Blackburn, where we snatched points in 1-1 draws when we didn't really deserve them. So, you know, it swings around about in this division, and at the moment, you know, 24 hours after a game where you're only taking a 1-1 draw, you have every right to moan and whinge a bit, but, you know, come next Tuesday against Brentford, it'll all be forgotten about and we go again.
Yeah, that's a massive game. We're going to be talking all about that in the second half of the show. But I actually really enjoyed Lamucci coming out and saying this, you know, because praising the players and sort of disciplining them at the same time. It's like, yeah, we're doing well, but, you know, nothing's over yet and nothing's won yet. We need to keep going. And that's exactly really, I think it's an honest approach that the fans would appreciate, isn't it, Chris?
I think it's the approach you've got to take, isn't it? You only have to look at the very top end of football in this country and the message that keeps coming out of Klopp's mouth and everyone associated with Liverpool, that, you know, we're 13 points clear, two games in hand and all this, but we haven't won it yet. We're not there yet. And that's the message at any level, I suppose, that, you know, you can't take anything for granted. The fact that we've been sort of there or thereabouts all season means nothing in the grand scheme of things. We've got to stay there now. Yeah. And it's up to Lamucci, it's up to the players to keep putting in the performances and for him to keep driving them on. And it is nice, in a way, that he keeps coming out and saying he wants more, he wants more. I mean, by now you would have hoped that maybe that he would have seen that, but he's still got that thought that maybe there is another gear and that's what you want, especially at this time of the season. If we could find another way of kicking on from here, then, yeah, with the top two back within reach, anything could happen.
Yeah, well, one of the ways you can kick on, Lamucci was also at it, he made some bold claims. He said that Forest, maybe not word for word, but he kind of alludes to it, and in a roundabout way, he said, Forest, look, got the best defence in the Championship.
He did, yeah. I think it's difficult to argue against that. You know, player for player, you could argue a case for, you know, Rhys Samba being the best goalkeeper in the division. You could argue a case for Matty Cash, with apparently AC Milan after him, being one of the best right backs in the division. And Joe Worrell, been immense this season. Michael Dawson, bags of experience, England international. Yuri Biro looks like a bit of a bargain on the left. You can see where he's coming from. It's just finding the other pieces of that puzzle, and a few days left of the transfer window, and we're still waiting and hoping that maybe there might be a bit more business to come.
Yeah, and we have to talk about it, Chris. Believe you me, I know we both don't want to, but the Reading game, again, we spoke about it last week, the chaos that was in the last minute. Again, Forest, I'm watching it, I thought, Forest have taken the lead, 1-0 up, 8 minutes to go, a great time to score, see the game out, another 3 points. 3 minutes later, no lessons have been learnt, Chris. Reading are right back into it. What is going on?
It's crazy, isn't it, how it can happen in such a short space of time. I mean, you can maybe get that against the same opposition over the course of the season, but months apart. But to have done it twice in 10 days is, you know, a bit unbelievable, isn't it? And
you literally can't make it up.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know whether you look at it and put it down to concentration and whether you should be pointing fingers or whether it is just the way things go. It's just a quirk of football, I suppose, and it's happened, and, you know, it's certainly going to be a storyline from this season, regardless of what happens from here.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, but I just couldn't believe it. Forest that took the lead rather than them coming back, and typical Reading. I know they're a tough side to beat, but it was these two home games. We spoke about them at length last week, saying, you know, 6 points, both games at home, really kicking on. When West Brom and Leeds are actually having a little bit of a falter at the minute, you know, a little bit of a stumbling over the line, but still 4 points out of six. Like you said, 24 hours after, now we can really look at the games. You're pleased with that return? Turn, Chris.
Yeah, the last six games, from going back to Boxing Day when we won at Hull, and that kick-started this little run. I think if you offered us 14 points from 18, everyone would snap your hand off, regardless of the results and where they happened. If you get offered that return, you'd take it every day of the week. And to put ourselves in that position, because West Brom and Leeds have flipped up recently, it has a bit more pressure and a bit more expectation was ramped up last night, because we can close to within a couple of points of Leeds. And maybe we didn't need that. We just needed to focus on our own job, and everything had started getting a bit out of control. But now, at least that game is out of the way now. That isn't an issue anymore. It's now everyone's going to be on a level playing field again. And from here, whoever takes the most points goes up.
Yeah, and we're talking about six games unbeaten, Chris, and I'm sure I've asked you this question before, or Lee or Sam, but we're talking about six games unbeaten in a league where just above you, West Brom have only won 1-8 and Leeds are having their stumble, and everyone's going, Brentford are doing really well, all Fulham, yeah, they've started now to just turn it on a little bit, Scott Parker. No one is talking about Forest, absolutely no one, apart from us on this show, and no one's really even mentioning that six game unbeaten. Do you get that vibe from, like, I know you're in the bubble, but outside the bubble, it just feels to me that Forest are really overlooked at the minute.
Which is fine with us. You know, you don't want that burden on you. You don't want the burden that's suddenly weighing on Leeds and West Brom, and all of a sudden it looks like they're, you know, the season might implode underneath them again. You want to sail under the radar. That's a good thing. I think we should embrace that, and everyone wants to keep writing us off. That'll only serve as added motivation for us to keep on doing what we've done the entire season so far.
Yeah, no, I get it in that sense, and I agree, but maybe it's just from me, but a little frustration of no one's really taking this playoff bid seriously, or no one's really thinking out of the teams that we're looking to emerge from the pack, they think it's going to be us. I keep hearing Fulham and Brentford, I don't hear Forest, but no one wants to go to the City Ground. We're talking arguably, like you said, the best defence in the Championship on a great unbeaten run, and yet it's not Forest that we're speaking about as the contender to emerge.
Well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, aren't they? And we don't necessarily care, you know, what anyone else thinks about us or what they reckon we're going to achieve this season. As long as there's the belief and the determination and that drive inside the Forest bubble, if you want to call it that, then that's fine. You know, everyone else can stay outside it, and we'll just keep ticking along happily. And if we are there or thereabouts at the end of the season, then people have to accept that we deserve it.
They certainly will. They better expect sooner or later. That's for sure, Chris. Chris, as always, a pleasure chatting to you. But this is still the Nottingham Forest Fan Show, and there is still time to get involved tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We're going to be getting into that May Cash linked with a European super giant. You know who it is, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. And if you don't know, who do you think it can be?
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined by Nottingham Forest News, a.k.a. Seat Pitch. We just heard from Chris Burton there. Now, I'm delighted to say Lee Clark joins us. So much to talk about. And I know Lee, Chris and Sam are all over it. But not only do we keep you in the loop on all the fan shows, not just from the respective teams, but also what is going on tonight. Liverpool are taking on Wolves at Molineux, and there has been an update. Alex Winter will tell us more.
It's Wolves 1, Liverpool 1. Game on at Molineux. Raul Jimenez with the goal, finishing a lovely breakaway move. It was Jimenez who started the move, stepping around Robertson like he wasn't there in the left-back position, feeding Adama Traore on the right-hand side of the area. Traore sent up a delightful cross towards the penalty spot, and there was Jimenez arriving first, a glance home the header into the right-hand corner of the goal. A tremendous goal, and Wolves suddenly back in the game. Molineux rampant, bouncing fans all around us. Wolves 1, Liverpool 1.
Wolves 1, Liverpool 1. game on there. Liverpool unbeaten this Premier League season. Wolves maybe have other ideas. We'll keep you updated. But at the minute, we don't care because it's the Forest takeover. And I'm speaking to Lee Clark. Lee, always good to get you on the show. We know of the results. Just quickly before we go to them and get your thoughts on them, there has been a huge club in Italy, a European super giant, an Italian heavyweight, linked with our very own Matty Cash. Who is it and what are we making of it?
It's a bit of a strange one. AC Milan are preparing a £15 million bid for him, apparently. It's silly season, isn't it? And that's just the tip of the iceberg for me, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's good, but is he good enough to be sticking balls in the box as Zlatan? I'm not quite sure.
It's even crazy when you say it like that. And this is actually not a knock on Matty Cash. He's a player I like. And I know there's been other clubs linked with him, such as Newcastle and Premier League clubs. But at the minute, I don't know what it is with the Milan clubs, whether it's AC, whether it's Inter. They seem, their scouts only seem to be working in Britain. They're linked with everyone, signing players from Chelsea, Spurs. Now Matty Cash has been linked. Is it a move that we, or a talks that we can give any fruition to? Do we believe there's any truth to this? I know you're saying the tip of the iceberg, Lee. But there's also, I suppose, no smoke without fire.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's... I did say to someone the other day, whether AC Milan are interested or not, I think it is... it's very rare, certainly in recent years, that we get to January and clubs are interested in our players. And that's typically because we're languishing between sort of 12th and 17th. It's probably just a testament that we're actually doing well this season. So naturally, when it gets to January, people, particularly Premier League clubs, they start looking towards the Championship because the clubs are coming up from the Championship, the likes of Sheffield United, maybe not the other two that came up last year, but Sheffield United, for example, they've flown through the Championship and they're actually doing well in the Premier League. So Premier League clubs are getting wise and they're thinking, well, actually, there's some good talent in the Championship, so let's have a look.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big believer and fan of the Championship, that it's above or on par with some of the other European leagues. I rate the quality in the Championship so strong over the past few years. It's only getting stronger, obviously. But it's a crazy one. And we've done other fan shows, and obviously this is the Forest takeover, but just on the Birmingham one, we've done the Bellingham story, you know, could he be joining Man United? And it's hard for these clubs. They get a crazy offer, and they're caught between a rock and a hard place. The fans don't want to see their prospects go, the top talent go, but when you get a bid like that and what you could do with it and what it can mean with a club, it's very, very difficult. And we know Forest are actually going for a promotion, won't want to lose Matty Cash, but if they get a £15 million offer, what would you do and what can you see them doing, Lee?
I think you've got to look at how difficult it'd be to replace him.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say with the January transfer window, I mean, we found the issue with the striker in the sense that clubs know that Forest and Leeds need strikers. So guess what? The prices are going through the roof. I think the perception from the selling club is that if the likes of Forest and Leeds are that desperate for a player, then they're going to pay the money for it. Obviously, with financial fair play, it's not always going to be quite as clean cut as that. But I personally, in January, would be disappointed to lose any star player because I just think it's so difficult to get an adequate replacement in. In such a tricky transfer window.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one, especially the season you're having. You don't want to lose an asset when you are going for a promotion. But that's also kind of what I was alluding to with financial fair play. You get that returns in, then Forest can spend because they know they've had £15 million net in. It's a hard one, isn't it? Because that's what clubs see, especially the front office and the owners. They say, well, this is £15 million here on the books.
I think just talking on a Forest point of view, I don't really know the ins and outs of such with Birmingham, but from a Forest perspective, we sold Arvin Appiah for £8 million, and the message from the club was that sale was kind of, basically, it gave us the freedom to attack the January transfer window. Like I say, it's still going to be difficult because the selling clubs are demanding, you know, silly money. But I still think, especially a club that's fifth, in Birmingham's situation, if they were to get £30 million, yeah, they've got to take it. But ourselves, I think Matty Cash has got the incentive that if he does, you know, he's going to be part of the team for the second half of the season, and if he does get Forest promoted, then he is going to get a big move anyway. And obviously the plus from a Forest point of view on that is if we get rid of him in the summer, we've got bags of time to, you know, scour the market, go through the scouting system and get a suitable replacement.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you mentioned it is silly season. It is the most difficult transfer window. We know of potential outs then, but any more ins? Who else has been linked? And actually, there's a few more that, you know, some have left and we could see actually others leave this window, Lee.
Yeah, there's two incoming links that have that are quite interesting that have emerged today. Actually, Josh Windass from Wigan.
Really?
There's two or three clubs interested in him. The issue that Wigan have got is that his contract. He's got no real desire to sign a new contract. Obviously, this is what the reports are saying.
Yeah.
So they're willing to let him go for sort of $500,000. So now there's a clamour of clubs chasing his signature. Obviously, from a Forest perspective, he's already had a day to forget at the City Ground this season, missing the penalty to rob Wigan of a point. So we'll keep him off the penalties, but he might be an attractive signing. And the other guy is Naki Wells, who's been linked with us as well.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Again, not sure about the finances on that one. Burnley, like I've just said, Burnley are going to know that Forest. I think Leeds have been linked with him as well. So it's pure coincidence. Forest and Leeds getting linked with every striker. It's no coincidence. Whether you believe them all, it's one of them. It's January. You've got to take everything with a pinch of salt, I think.
Yeah, and Bristol City linked with Naki Wells. But there's a little bit of truth in this one because obviously Burnley are looking to recall him from QPR, maybe make that sale. They know they can get a bit of cash for him, maybe use the funds himself. Maybe Forrest, I don't know if they want to get into a bidding war, but it's seemingly a player that is on the chopping block. But is he a player that Forrest want at 30? And, you know, maybe they're trying to build that generation and the core. I know we can do a job, but if they go up as well, it's a tricky one with Wells and Forrest, I feel.
Yeah, it would be. It's one of them. He's scored 14 goals this season, so I think you've got to look at that. That's got to be the top figure for me. I think we'd have to be very snobby to not have a player that's got two less than Lewis Grabban this season. Everyone's saying that they don't want an unknown foreigner to come in from abroad and they want someone proven, and Wells does tick that box, to be fair.
Yeah, he knows the league's inside out. And to be fair, you know, moves haven't worked out for him, but he is a proven goal scorer. I've always thought he knows where the goal is and can get goals in spurts. But obviously, Lee, I want to talk about the massive game on Tuesday night, because I know actually Forest don't have a game this weekend, so perfect preparation for the Brentford game. And I just spoke to Chris about how maybe some fans and some teams aren't really taking Forest seriously, or that's maybe me just getting defensive. But we're on a six-game unbeaten run. It's Brentford on Tuesday. This is the acid test, isn't it? This is the really what the season's about. They get that one and it completely changes everything.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's nothing to fear. We've played big teams this season and we've won. So, I mean, we went to Fulham and won. We went to Swansea and won. It's one of them. It'd be typical for us to, when we do have a disappointing result. Not that last night was overly disappointed, but it was a little bit disappointing scoring late on and then conceding late on again. But I think we've shown that we can step up to the plate and, you know, attack these away games against the good sides with confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be a tricky game, obviously. Brentford are flying at the minute. Maybe no one really expected that. It's their last season at Griffin Park, so they're making an extra big push. They're obviously in their new stadium next year. For you, Lee, where will the game be won and lost?
I think you've got to keep their front three quiet. One thing that we have been good on the road in particular is keeping teams quiet. The ultimate acid test is going to come at Griffin Park, because I think they nicknamed them the BMW, don't they? The front three of Benrahma, Watkins and I don't know who the other one is, beginning with M. I'm not sure.
Mbeumo.
No, I think... Yeah, that's the one. It's just keeping those three quiet. If you keep those three quiet, you've got every chance. Again, they're a funny side. They were scoring three every week for fun a few weeks back, and then they went to Huddersfield and didn't score. They drew 0-0. So, again, if we can keep them out, I think we've got to fancy our chances with the players in the final third to get a goal ourselves.
This is the thing, though. Forest don't concede a lot of goals. Brentford score a lot, but you know, we've always said this year we need Forest to score more goals. It's going to be a tricky one. I just think this is a massive statement of intent. They go and beat Brentford, and I just think that them Forest are the ones that we're not talking about the Brentfords and Fulhams emerging from the pack. We're all eyes on Forest. Maybe it's not what Forest fans want, but this just shows where they're at this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is the it would send out a real message to the rest of the league. Yeah. Going there and winning. I mean, you say it's not off. I think it is a little bit. I think some, me included, I quite fancy a bit of credit because Forest, people are forgetting that we're not like Brentford and Fulham. Fulham have come out of the Prem, they were expected to be up there. Brentford have got one of the best strikers in the league in Watkins, who's been doing it for a few seasons. This Forest team's got players in it who are relatively new to the division. Mm. We've got a new manager, and I think it would be nice for some of the pundits, particularly on Sky, to give us a bit of credit every now and again.
Yeah, well, I agree with it. You're getting it from here. I know you want a little bit more than that, but I'll continue to do so, Lee. But what is your score prediction for Tuesday night?
Well, I've never, all season, I've not predicted a loss for us yet, Charlie, so I'm going to stick with that.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say, so I'll make a change. I'm glad
I think it'll be a draw. I do think it'll be a score draw. I think both teams are going to have goals. I'll go for 2-2.
2-2. I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe. I don't know if Forest would take it, but I suppose a point away to a team that is flying as well in the Championship. Points are always good. Defeats aren't good. It'll be 7 games unbeaten. Lee, always a pleasure to talk to you on the Forest Fan Show. Remember, you can be part of this show. Tweet Lee a question. Tweet Chris a question. We'll put them to him. Have your Forest views. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Massive game with Brentford on Tuesday, and we will be here next week, Thursday, 9 o'clock, to talk all about it.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.